Welcome everybody to Josephine County Rural Planning Commission. Would you please join me and stand and salute the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. This meeting of the Josephine County Planning Commission will be conducted in accordance to the Josephine County Land Use Hearing Rules as they apply to legislative actions. A summary of the rules as follows. The planning staff will identify and explain the laws and procedures governing this action. If you believe any of the laws or procedures cited are not identified, followed, or correctly applied, you must raise the issue to the chair for a ruling. Clearly raising a legal or procedural issue in order to be understood by the commission and participants will prevent a later appeal of the action. All participants are free to express their views about whether the proposed legislation is good policy or appropriate use of county resources. Any person who participates in this hearing may receive mailed notice of the Planning Commission's final decision by requesting the notice in writing. If the decision is appealed to the Board of County Commissioners or the Board of Commissioners initiates its own review, anyone who participated in this hearing and provides a mailing address will receive notice of the Board's hearing. Participants are obliged to know and follow the rules and procedures. The planning staff present has a copy of the rules. I don't have an agenda. The first item on agenda is 3.1, update Josephine County Code Title 19, Rural Land Development to include sections 19.11-definitions, 19.64-exclusive farm, 19-65, forest commercial and woodlot resource zone. Does anyone object to the jurisdiction of the commission to hear this matter? There being none. The Josephine County Rural Development Code sets the following time limits for testimony. We'll play that beer since it doesn't look like a big crowd. Thank you. The laws and procedures applicable to this legislative item shall be presented by the planning staff. Staff, please give your report.
Hi, my name is Veronica Brown. I'm an associate planner with Josephine County Community Development. So we will be going over the proposed text amendments for section 19.11 definitions, which will be related to section 19.64 exclusive farm and farm resource and section 19.65 forest commercial and woodlot resource. Josephine County Code section 19.46.020.B.1.A states the Planning Commission shall make final decisions to amend a comprehensive plan element unless the amendment involves an exception to statewide planning goals or involves farm or forest land. The proposed amendments do involve farm and forest lands. A Planning Commission recommendation to approve or deny any code amendment is then forwarded to the Board with a recommended ordinance. Board review authority is under 19.46.020.B.2.C, which states the Board of Commissioners must implement amendments of the county's comprehensive plan by ordinance. The action to adopt the ordinance or not may not be appealed at the local level. So we will start with Exhibit A, which is Chapter 19.11 definitions. The first of which is a modification to an existing definition. So the modification is under the agriculture farming farm use definition. The relevant section is here in red, which is the new changes, which is essentially stating that it's applying to composting operations on high value farmland, and that accepted farming practice includes composting operations that either compost-only materials produced on the subject tract or compost materials brought from off-site and then processed alone or in conjunction with materials generated on the subject tract and use all on-site generated compost for on-farm production in conjunction with and auxiliary to the farm use on the subject tract. Definitions, A definitions continued, we have a new definition for agritourism, which will be especially relevant in the farm section. It means a common farm-dependent activity that promotes agriculture, any income from which is incidental and subordinate to a working farm. Such uses may include hayrides, corn mazes, and other similar uses that are directly related to on-site agriculture. Any assembly of persons shall be for the purpose of taking part in agriculturally based activities. And then it lists a few different examples. It can also include farm-to-plate meals, et cetera, et cetera. You can read it. And then we have another new definition of associated transmission lines, which is essentially just the lines that connect to the power grid. For C definitions, we have cider, which means an alcoholic beverage made from the fermentation of the juice of apples or pears, which is directly related to cider business, which is a facility used primarily for the commercial production, shipping, and distribution, wholesale or retail sales, tasting, crushing, making, blending, storage, bottling, administrative functions, or warehousing of cider. We also have commercial dairy farm, which is implied in its name. And then we have a definition for commercial tree species, which means trees recognized for commercial production under rules adopted by the State Board of Forestry. And then there's a slight change to community sewage system, just changing it from Oregon's DEQ to Josephine County on-site septic. For F definitions, we have farming, farm use, and it just references back to the A definition. Farm worker housing, which is housing limited to occupancy by farm workers and their immediate family, not occupied by a relative of the owner operator of the farm worker housing. A farm operator, which is a person who operates a farm, doing the work and making the day-to-day decisions. Farmer ranch operation, which is all lots or parcels of land in the same ownership that are used by the farm or ranch operator for farm use, as defined in ORS 215.203. And then we have farm stays, which is overnight accommodations, which provide at least one meal per day offered for compensation, which are provided in the principal farmhouse, commonly referred to as a guest house, but it must also be a qualifying farm. The H definition, the first change is just a couple of more restrictions or expanding on the idea of what soils and definitions make something high-value farmland. For I definitions, it's just a modification to an existing definition to reference the division from OAR 660-033-0020, which just expands on what the idea of what irrigated is considered. And then we skip to N definitions, a net metering power facility, which is a facility for the production of energy that uses all of the sources listed. So solar power, wind power, fuel cells, hydroelectric power, landfill gas, digester gas, waste, dedicated energy crops, et cetera, et cetera. It's intended to offset part of the customer generator's requirements for energy and will operate in parallel with the utility's existing transmission and distribution facilities. And then it also needs to be consistent with ORS 757.300 and or OAR 860-039-0010. And needs to be located on the same tract as the power generating facility. We also have the non-commercial standalone power generating facility, which is different from the previous definition, but is similar in that the energy means can be the same types, but it's intended to provide all of the generator's requirements for energy for the tract. and operates as a standalone power generator not connected to a utility grid. Those being the main differences. And then we have a definition of the NRCS Web Soil Survey, which is what we use for determining high-value farmlands and other soils. And then it just gives a brief definition for that. We have new definitions for the O definitions. An open play field, which means a large grassy area with no structural improvements, does not include developed ball fields, golf courses, or courts for racket sports. And then we also have orchard, which means a piece of land planted with apple or pear trees. And then we also have new P definitions. Primary processing of forest products means the initial treatments of logs or other forest plant or fungi material. Principally engaged in farm use means, as it refers to primary farm dwellings and accessory farm dwellings, a person is principally engaged in farm use when the amount of time the occupant of the dwelling is engaged in farm use of the property is similar to the average number of hours that is typically required for a full-time employee of the relevant type of farm use. Continuing with P definitions, we have private park and also public park, two different definitions. Private park means land that is used for low impact, casual, recreational uses such as picnicking, boating, fishing, swimming, etc. It may include play areas and accessory facilities. Whereas a public park, I'm skipping down to, means a public area intended for open space and outdoor recreation use that is owned and managed by a city, county, regional government, state, or federal agency, or park district, and they may be designated as a public park in the comp plan and zoning ordinance. Jumping back one, the process is as it applies to farm stands, so any item that is processed through canning, drying, baking, freezing, pressing, butchering, or other similar means of adding value to the farm product. For our definitions, we have renewable energy facility, which is what most people would traditionally think of a like solar farm. So a solar photovoltaic power generation facility using more than 100 acres but not more than 160 acres located on high-value farmland, or more than 100 acres but not more than 1,280 acres located on land that is predominantly cultivated, or if not cultivated, composed of soils that are in capability classes 1 to 4, or more than 320 acres but not more than 1,920 located on any other land. And then for T, we have temporary use or structure, which means a non-permanent structure and one used for a limited time or use or activity that is of limited duration. We have utility facilities necessary for public service, which is any facility owned or operated by a public, private, or cooperative company for the transmission, distribution, or processing of its products, or for the disposal of cooling water, waste, or byproducts not associated with a commercial power generating facility and other similar facilities. And then we also have youth camp, which is a facility either owned or leased and operated by a state or local government or a nonprofit as defined under ORS 65.001, which is meant to provide outdoor recreation and educational experiences, primarily for the benefit of persons 21 years of age and younger. Youth camps do not include any manner of juvenile detention center or detention facilities. So now we'll start with Exhibit B. And one of the things that's not on the slide but is important is that the zone was kind of improperly named or improperly formatted to only be exclusive farm. It's actually supposed to read exclusive farm and farm resource zones. The first mandated change is in the outright uses, and it's the addition of farm use composting facilities as defined by OAR 660-033-0027. And then there is also the removal above that. Originally, it was labeled as B. It's detours of public road and highways that will be temporary and will be abandoned and restored to original condition or used at the time they are no longer needed. That has been removed, and composting facilities has been placed in its spot. For permitted uses, the first mandated change is new criteria for alteration, restoration, and or replacement of dwellings, specifically what happens when it's removed, destroyed, or demolished. It references not having a lien for delinquent taxes, as well as, it references a time limit of within 1 year after the date the replacement dwelling is certified for occupancy, as well as if it's removed, the dwelling is removed, by moving it off the subject parcel to another location, the applicant must obtain approval from the director for the new location. And then there's some requirements for the replacement dwelling itself. Next is a discretionary change for transportation improvements on rural lands subject to requirements of OAR 660-012-0065. And then the next one is mandated. It's relocation of type 2 and type 3 home occupations from permitted uses to conditional uses. There's a lot of information on this slide, so I'll try to go over it as best as I can. First is the discretionary change or addition of on-site treatment of septage, which is specifically limited to only that which is transportable treatment and has to be authorized under license, permit, or other approval. And then the next discretionary change is the addition of agritourism. So subsections 1 through 3, we can choose to either do all of them, just one of them, or a combination of them. Our proposal is just to do all of them. The 215.296 findings, which is the farm impacts test, do not apply to the expedited path of those three options, but it does apply to the other two. Subsection 4 is just guidelines for if we implement subsection 3, one of those choices. And then subsection 5 is additional guidelines for all of the alternative options. Subsection 6 refers to the optional 4-year renewal of review. So you can review it every 4 years instead of just a one-time approval. Subsection 7 states that temporary structures must be removed. And subsection 8 specifies that it's a different process than the mass gatherings process. Agritourism is different. It's a different thing entirely. And then subsection 9 is... Subsection 3 and 4 are subject to the additional criteria listed in subsection 9. And then another discretionary change is for cider businesses and the differences between a small cider business and a large cider business. And then discretionary change after that is commercial dairy farm. This was actually enacted by a legislative act and it was not added to the ORS. Just important to know that. The subsection references in the commercial dairy farm section were improperly labeled, so they should be relabeled to I3A1 or the next section reference should be I3A3, and then the next reference should be F7. That was due to a last minute reorganization to put everything alphabetically. Commercial dog boarding kennel is a discretionary change as well. We currently do have kennels in the code, but a commercial dog boarding kennel is slightly different. And then we have dog training classes, which is also discretionary. It limits the number of dogs participating in training, as well as for the classes, as well as testing trials, which there's a difference between. And then the next mandated change is new additions to dwellings in conjunction with farm use criteria. So there's new acreage and zoning additions. There's, it used to be that the housing exception was accessory dwellings. Now it's been changed to a housing exception for only seasonal farm worker dwellings. The subsection reference in this should also be changed from D to I, sorry. And there, I believe, is one or two references to the, in parentheses, $1,994. Those references should all be removed. I believe only one of them was actually removed. There's also the addition of language to exclude income from marijuana crops. There's also language for CC&Rs as well. Another mandated change is the addition of the relative farm help dwelling and the additional guidelines that it added, in addition to the other types of dwellings allowed in the farm area. Another mandated change is the addition of relocated farm operations guidelines. So if someone owned or operated a farm operation in the last 2 years, or if earned farm income in each of the last 5 or 4 of the last 7 years are some of those guidelines. A discretionary change is adding farm breweries, which produces more than 150,000 barrels of malt annually. Or there's a secondary option, which is produces more than 15,000 barrels annually and also meets the following criteria: owns on-site hop farm on at least 15 acres, owns contiguous hop farm of at least 15 acres, long-term contract on at least 15 acres, obtains hops from at least 15 acres of any above combination. And activities in conjunction with farm brewery are allowed, including agritourism. There was an update to farm crop processing facilities to include the addition of poultry processing, among other things. And there were new guidelines added for the facility size itself. There is a discretionary change of adding additional language to farm stands, which helps clarify what a farm stand can and cannot be. There's 3 new definitions or sub-definitions for it. It also specifies that it needs to exclude marijuana crops, so you can't have a farm stand selling marijuana or any byproduct of it. It also includes parking, roadway, vision clearance area requirements, and adds that approval is subject to the Josephine County Health Department or ODA approval. There's also the addition of forest product processing facility, which previously was only in the forest zones. It's a discretionary change to add it to the farm zone as well. There's also the mandated change of removing kenneling, breeding, and training of greyhounds. That's specific verbiage. Like I said before, there is still commercial dog boarding kennels. There's also the mandated change of adding additional verbiage for the rental of model aircraft sites, and a discretionary change of additional guidelines for photovoltaic solar power generation facilities. There's also a mandated change for removing schools from the subject to standards only section to the conditional use section, and the mandated change of utility facilities and the addition of associated transmission lines. There's a discretionary change of altering winery to include small and large wineries. That section is quite extensive with the change. So I'll just go over any questions you might have about it later. But there is another subsection reference that was improperly not changed. It needs to be changed from Q subsection references to subsection V references instead. And that wineries can include markets, wine tastings, wine club activities, etc. And that goes for both small and large. The main difference being the size, the physical size, and the amount produced. And then in the large winery, the subsection references for U need to be changed to W, and R needs to be changed to W as well. So now we're at conditional uses for the farm zone. The first mandated change is the removal of animal shelter expansions and replacements and the Armed Forces Reserve Center, as well as addition of State Fish and Wildlife Commission to the aquatic or insect species. Discretionary is commercial activities in conjunction with farm use, as well as commercial utility facilities, whose purpose is to generate power for public use, but not through wind or solar means. There's been additional guidelines added for community centers, which is mandated, alteration of kennels to commercial dog boarding kennels located on high-value farmland, and additional guidelines to composting facilities, which has actually been changed to specifically non-farm composting facilities and requires an odor minimization plan. And the subsection reference of E should be changed to G. Another mandated change is the removal of county fairgrounds from the farm section. Discretionary is the addition of destination resorts, which are not permitted on high-value farmland, although existing resorts may be expanded under the new guidelines. And then mandated change, addition of dog training classes that are not specifically established under section 19.64.030.I. And then this section should, the subsection reference should be changed from I to H. There's also discretionary change of equine and equine-affiliated therapeutic counseling activities. That would be an addition that's discretionary. Mandated is removal of firearms training facility, as well as golf courses are having a modification. There's an update from what our current code definition is to the ORS definition, but it still allows for existing golf courses to be expanded. Like I mentioned before, we're going to be relocating type 2 and type 3 home occupations from the permitted uses to the conditional uses, and that is a mandated change. Discretionary change is improvement of public road / highway facilities where additional right-of-way or property is required, but no new lots are created. Mandated is additional standards for the Type 3 home occupations, which provides an employee limit, as well as bed and breakfast or room and boards are now limited to 5 unrelated persons. I believe previously it was just a room limit before, but now it's specifically 5 unrelated persons. A discretionary change is the addition of landscape contracting business, which has to be in conjunction with growing or marketing nursery stock. Reconstruction or modification of public roads and highways, which involves removal and or displacement of buildings, but no new creation of lots. And mandated is the removal of boarding house and the addition of renewable energy facility, which means electric power specifically from renewable energy sources, but is different from an energy facility and a solar voltaic facility, and requires that notice is sent to outside agencies. So I briefly mentioned this before, schools has been moved to the conditional use process. That's a mandated change, although it allows for schools established on or before January 1st, 2010 to be expanded as long as they comply with the new guidelines. There's also a mandated change of the addition of storage of up to 7 log trucks, discretionary change of adding towers for transmitting signals that are over 200 feet in height, and a mandated change of removing water extraction and bottling, as well as wildlife habitat conservation and management plan. The rest of section 19.64 is unchanged. So starting with the outright uses for section 19.65, there's the mandatory additions of agricultural building, as the ORS 455.315 definition states, and it may not be converted from an agricultural building once it's stated as such. There's also new addition of criteria for alteration, restoration, and replacement dwellings, addition of dump truck parking, and removal of solid waste disposal site as ordered by DEQ. There's been no changes to the permitted uses section. The conditional uses section has the following mandated changes. The addition of forest products processing facility guidelines to include size, indoor-outdoor location, and mitigation of impacts from the facility, as well as new guidelines for solid waste disposal sites, which need to minimize conflicts and fire hazards, such as size, noise, fencing, it needs to protect fish and wildlife, access and easements need to be addressed, and it needs to have limited hours of operation. More mandated changes is the addition to the large tract test. So a tract is no longer considered less than 160 acres due to a road or waterway crossing the parcel. The template test has been modified to include verbiage to clarify what centered on subject tract means, as well as removal of repeated verbiage, relocation of 160 acre rectangle requirements to subsection 5. So that part was removed because it was repeated. Addition of 60 acres or more requirement for subsection 5 of this section, an addition of language for clarification of what constitutes being in the 160 acre rectangle, as well as rules where a template dwelling is allowed. And then within that, there's a discretionary change that we're proposing to opt out of. There is a buffer window from when this took place in our, or was active in our county, November 1st, 2021. There's a buffer window that is a potential to include that would end November 1st, 2023, seeing as how this year is mostly over and this probably wouldn't take effect until the beginning of 2023. We have decided to opt out from that buffer window. And then the relative forest dwelling has new guidelines. It needs to be less than 200 feet away from the main dwelling. It needs to have wildfire mitigation. A deed restriction is required. New structures cannot be for vacation occupancy, and the owner or relative must be related as defined and assist in forest management. For siting standards, as well as standards for new or reconfigured lots or parcels in section 19.65, there are the following mandated changes. You now need to provide proof of domestic water supply from an authorized source with Oregon, from OWRD. Thank you. So if it's water from a purveyor, a water use permit, verification from them that a permit is not needed, or if it's from a well, needs to submit well contractor's report upon the completion of the well. And then also mandated is if access is given by BLM, ODF, or USFS roads, or other road-like trails, proof of long-term access use permit or agreement is required, and that proof will need to be submitted along with application. Alteration of minimum tract eligible size under standards for new or reconfigured lots or parcels has been reduced from 40 acres to 35 acres. And then there's been new verbiage added for property line adjustments may not be approved if it would separate a temporary hardship dwelling, DLS, or home occupation from the primary residence. So it is the recommendation of Josephine County Planning that the commission recommend approval of the proposed amendments with minor housekeeping changes, such as the subsection references, to the Board of County Commissioners. Does anyone have any questions? There's a lot of information.
Yeah, I'll throw some at you first. 1911.170. Why under the orchard definition does it only say apples and pears? Seems to me that there's more orchards than those two fruits.
Yeah, so it's specifically orchards as it applies to cideries. So pears and apples are mainly the ones used for ciders.
Correct, but is that excluding other people from having access to different trees?
I would imagine it would only apply to an orchard as it would apply to a cidery. So if you're not planning on having a cidery, I would imagine you could probably still have an orchard.
Okay. I have an issue with that one, so that needs better clarification. 1911-200, why 100 acres? Is that a mandated? Where'd that come from, the 200?
Which one was it that you said again?
1911-200. It's not on, generation facility using more than 100 acres, but not more than 160 acres.
Yeah, so that acreage limitation is when it's specifically located on high-value farmland. It goes on to state more than 100, but less than 1,280 when it's predominantly cultivated, or if not cultivated, predominantly composed of soils in the capability classes 1 to 4. Or on all other land, more than 320 acres, but not more than 1,920.
Yeah, my question was, where did the 100 come from?
Was it would have come from an ORS.
Okay, thank you. And same thing with that same definition, the megawatts, at least 35 megawatts, but less than 50.
Yeah, that would also be from ORS.
Okay. I would pass that to the BCC. That seems restrictive to me. But we'll move on. And I can't reference B49 because on our application that we were sent via email is different than the application that is in front of us today, so I don't have a B49 reference.
What is it that it's referencing?
Why must own another 80 acres to do something? And it's just, it's different from this application that we have in front of us versus the one I got on the email.
What was the original citation?
I don't know. I don't have it written down because I expected to just reference that page so I could jump right back to it. But obviously that's not happening. So I will move on. But if you go to the email application that was mailed to us and go to B49, that reference will be there. And then removing the fairgrounds and the firearms training on 19.64. We're just removing them from permitted uses. Seems kind of counterintuitive to me. Is that an ORS removal? Is that a state requirement?
Yeah, so it's no longer stated in the uses at all. So it's just been removed.
What about existing? Is there any existing would be the first question. Because I know we have a fairgrounds.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have any firearms training, but I certainly would not want to remove them or limit them. So I don't know that answer, so I will pass that on to the staff and let them present that to the BCC. And then my last one, still on 1964, farm brewery. Why must they have at least 15 acres?
Again, that would be part of an ORS.
Okay. I know you can grow a lot of crap on less than 15 acres. Ward, do you have any Ward questions?
There's a lot here. This
yeah.
is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, this should have taken months for us to look at, really, not one meeting. To me, I'm still thinking about it. So.
Something about consistency that I found at the beginning here. It says the executive director, then it says the planning director, then it says.
Oh.
Let me see if I can find that. It was just for consistency.
Okay, well, she's looking for that. Jeff, do you?
Oh, she found it. Okay, I'm on our package on B4. I know. I sound like I'm playing
big. You can't reference B4 because
I know
it's on a different. But
here I'm.
What is it?
Okay.
And 1964.030. Permitted uses.
Because I keep finding that they have taken out permitting authority and have put in director. And then we put director here. And then I find on the next page that we've got the county planning director. I think you should be consistent with our verbiage.
I like it. Anything else?
Nope.
Jeff, got some comments?
Well,
there's a button there. I am 100% behind you on the firearms thing. Boy, that really struck me that they just want to take that out if there are any in the community. So I've only been doing this a while, so I'm going to ask a question and you just answer if it's appropriate or not. When you're referring to the composting material brought from off-site, when they're talking about composting just for the farm with the products from the farm and maybe some soil amendments or whatever coming from off-site being trucked in, there are regulations or standards that apply to the amount, right?
I believe so.
And that would be in this, that would be part of that code? Is that right? I don't.
Are you referring to the farm or the non-farm composting?
I'm actually, the reason I'm talking about it is because there was no delineation between what's considered composting and then a commercial composting. You know what I'm saying, size-wise, in any of the stuff that I read. So that must be in a different section. The requirements, like they did with the cider business, 15,000 to blah, 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 to require to make it a large business or a small business. I didn't find in any of the reading any mandated or ordinances that are referring to the amount of yardage of composted material that you can have on a farm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was one of the things. Apparently there's some new stuff on soil testing. Yeah, and the orchard thing, I actually put a note on also. This kind of got me, and it's 9.11.110 definition. And for the purpose of this division, an area or tract within a water or irrigation district that was once irrigated shall continue to be considered irrigated even if the irrigation water was removed. If the water's removed, then it's no longer irrigated. So that's kind of like, okay, well then why are they gonna consider it here? Because people sell their, or turn their irrigation rights over all the time, right? In the county.
Yeah, I actually had that flagged also, but the more I thought about it, I think it's to the benefit of the landowner if it stays irrigated, whether it is or not. So that's why I didn't really bring it up to test it.
Isn't there a time limit, though, that if let's say you give up your irrigation rights, there's a time frame where you have to repetition for them?
Correct.
Right, so, I mean, that just seems problematic to me. Or, anyway, it doesn't matter. That's just what I was thinking.
No, and that's, like I said, I wrote that down too, but I think it's to the benefit to keep it irrigated versus removing it, because then they wouldn't have to go through that process, because they would have to reapply for water rights, and getting water rights right now is
But if they go past a certain time frame, they have to get back in line anyway.
Right.
So it's first person to ask is the first person that. I believe that's the code for that, for irrigation water. But also, I marked the orchard thing also. So maybe they could put in there that it only applies to that, to the pears and apples, for clarity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because if you read that by itself, it's not an accurate statement.
With the definition of irrigation, it was actually, unfortunately, added later that the division it's referencing is specifically an OAR. So it might be that OAR provides more information on the context of that situation.
Okay.
And that OAR is 660-033-0020.
Okay. That other question was about the composting. Okay, let me move on. This is all just housekeeping stuff. For clarification, I think most of it. That was taken care of in the comments you made, so. processing livestock, including jam, syrups, apple cider, animal products, and other, I don't know why I circled that. Maybe it had to do something with, how you preserve animal products for. There is one thing that really caught my eye that I am going to get to here momentarily, so thanks for your patience. And it's a section that has to do with, and I'm not 100% sure what section it's in. It's Exhibit B51, which has to do with a winery. And it's item 7, a person may not have a substantial ownership interest in more than one large winery operating a restaurant. Now, if I'm an investor and I want to invest in a dozen wineries and I have a 51% stake in a dozen of them and they all have restaurants, there's that violates that, right?
Which part was it again?
So, item 7.
It's in a different reference on yours.
Exhibit B51, I'm not sure it was even in our paperwork here. It's just some of the verbiage they've added. And it's, I'll try and find the section. It's 49, 48. It's all the stuff about the winery. So it would be in...
Is it for the small or the large winery?
No, just I'm not sure. A large winery permit requirements. A winery shall obtain a permit. Winery operates restaurant. It's about operating a restaurant on a winery. And it's item 7. And it's right before the agro-tourism and other commercial events section, which is 11, but...
Right before conditional uses as well.
Yeah. Just before conditional uses.
Right before conditional uses.
I'm sorry, I didn't... I should have marked it better, but yeah.
No, it would be easier if we had the same layout as what she had, so then we could reference better. It creates...
I don't understand how... The mandate of that, you understand what I'm saying? Why someone should be limited to not being able to invest their own personal finance or money into anything they want to.
It's part of 19.64, but I can't give you a reference from what we...
Yeah, James was able to point it out to me. So it's the one that states, a person may not have a substantial ownership interest in more than one large winery operating a restaurant.
Right.
Correct.
So that would be something that the state decided as part of an ORS. The way that that's worded makes it sound like you can have substantial ownership interest in more than one winery as long as it's not more than one specifically large winery that's operating a restaurant. So you could probably have substantial interest in multiple that are large as long as they're not operating a restaurant.
I'm just
not sure what the reasoning is.
I don't understand it. It just seems peculiar to me.
Yeah, state does that crap all the time, so.
Yeah, I know.
But, I pick my battles.
I stuck its ugly head up. I said, hey, nobody's going to tell me what I can or can't invest in. And so what if I want to go eat here? Right? The other thing was the 100-acre blah, blah, blah. Use section, renewable energy facility. I also marked that. And I think I'm almost done. If I'm not, and the firearms facility training's marked. Some of these are, or a lot of this is state mandated stuff now.
Pretty much
all of it. Because it's part of the Oregon, yeah.
All of it is directly from ORSs. The ones that are in, let me see. The ones that are bolded are discretionary. The ones that are in red but not bolded are mandated. But they all come from Oregon's ORSs.
Okay. I think the last one I have is the Oregon tracked test. Which is, I have it Exhibit C10, but that has to do with, I just need a little clarity on it, a tract. So did they used to, if there was a roadway or a waterway that went through a 160-acre tract, they split the tract and didn't count, didn't, even if it was owned by the same person, didn't, and, you know.
I believe that would have been how they did that before.
So now they're saying that that no longer applies. It doesn't matter if there's a creek and they're still going to add it in as part of the acreage.
Yeah, so now with this change, if there's a stream that cuts your 160 acres in half, it would no longer be considering it as 280 acres. It would still see it as 160, regardless of that road or waterway.
Okay.
My property was divided by a stream.
You're going to be glad to know that I'm done with my questions. That's all that struck me. So the rest looks like just clarification and housekeeping to get stuff so there's no ambiguity in the code. So anyway, that's how I see it. Thank you.
So we have a gentleman in back. Did he want to comment or speak? Okay. You're the only one here, so I won't give you an opportunity. So I'll bring it back to the Planning Commission for the moment. So it's all paperwork changes and stuff. I got some questions, but we're not making a final decision anyway, so it doesn't really matter in my book. But I want to put these questions up to the BCC, so when they have their hearing, that they'll have an answer to these questions, and they're going to do what they do whether we decide something one way or another anyway, so it doesn't really matter. So,
Of course we matter, you know.
Yeah, but they'll overrule whatever they want.
So this is all state mandated for the most part?
So
is this, we're bringing the code book up to the level that the state wants us to? Is that what's going on here? I mean, this is a lot of changes.
Yeah, it is. So it is all based on OARs or ORSs that were passed in the last decade, give or take. So we are pretty far behind on these sections of our code, and this is kind of just meant to bring it all up to speed so that we no longer have to reference the ORS and we can just have it in our code for everyone to reference easier and maybe in more easier to understand terms. Not all of it is mandated. Like I said, some of them are discretionary changes, so we can choose whether or not to implement them, but the ones that are mandated are indicated as such.
So the home business says that you have conditional uses on now that were permitted uses. What are those?
You mean the home occupation?
Yes.
That were moved?
Yeah.
We pretty much have always processed those as conditional uses, right? Yeah, so the process is what we've already been doing this whole time. They've always been processed as conditional use permits. It's just now we're updating the code to reflect that, which is also a change that was mandated by the state of Oregon.
Because something in there said it was, you changed it from permitted uses to conditional uses. So I wondered what that was about. I read that.
Yeah, I think it might have just been unintentionally left in the wrong section previously, potentially.
Okay. Because I'm not for restricting more. There it is right there. Okay.
Right.
Relocate type 2 and type 3 home occupations from permitted uses to conditional uses. So. Yeah, because I'm not here to restrict people, so I want to make sure we're not doing that.
Yeah, that is the process that we already used for that, and like I said, it is a mandated change.
From the state?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my notes and what I have is the 1911-170 orchard, why only apples and pears? Mm-hmm. Even if they're trying to do it for ciders and stuff, I know there's a crap load more. When I go up to the wineries up in Eugene, I'm the designated driver because I don't drink, but they're having all sorts of funny named ciders that got more than apples and pears in it.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
So I think that's a restriction. 11-200, why 100 acres, and why 35 to 50 megawatts? That seems to be restrictive, and why do we have to have a number? Just let them have it. 1964, I got four things. Why a limit on the farm brew, breweries, why removal of fairgrounds and firearms? I don't have any respectable answer to that question. So I'm putting all this to the BCC, and then ownership in more than one winery with the restaurant. So those are the things I'm recommending in the motion to put to the BCC.
And the kennels, is that all state mandated? So that's not you, that's not Josephine County changing that rule?
Yeah, no, pretty much none of these changes are Josephine County's choice. The only one that really is the exclusion of that buffer window that I was talking about between November 1st, 2021 and 2023.
Okay.
So it would be my procedure to move forward and accept the application with these changes that I just outlined. If somebody would like to make a motion to do so, unless you have other discussion, because we have not closed discussion yet.
Well, I hope the commissioners have a good time with this.
Yes, Teresa, would you like to make a motion?
Changes that staff has made with the exception of what has been pointed out, and then let the BCC make the
have the answers to those questions when they have the hearing.
Exactly. Does that sound like a decent motion?
Do we have a second?
Second.
A second by Mr. Ockenden. And roll call.
Commissioner Ockenden?
Yes.
Commissioner Mundell?
Yes.
Commissioner Cook?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes. Motion passes. Thank you, everybody. Item 4, matters from the Planning Commission. Anyone got anything? Nope, we got a couple things coming up. So I know she sent something out, but there's some other dates that have been added in October. So everybody check your calendar and get back to Melissa.
Did they send some more emails?
There was a second one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the October was not on my email, so. Yeah, just watch for that and respond back to planning. Mr. Black.
Yeah, I was just going to kind of go over the schedule here that's coming up real quick. So in 2 weeks, August 29th, we're going to convene again, and Veronica has another, this one will be much smaller, some more text amendments. This includes a time limits extension that this commission asked for. So we're going to bring that to you.
Perfect.
And have that for you guys. So that's August 29th. After that, September 19th is the next meeting. That is the Public Works wants to incorporate the transportation system plan into the our comprehensive plan. So Public Works will take the lead on that.
Have fun, guys.
Yeah. Yes, the chair will not be
here. The chair will not be here
that day. So
I will be in Colorado.
The vice chair will take the helm on that one. So,
I'll send my questions to you.
Yeah. The we do have two October dates set now. October 3rd, we have a PUD coming through. And on October 17th, we have a comp plan zone change coming through. When I schedule these, I'm kind of the guy who does these scheduling. I kind of go every other Monday, give you guys a break in between. It also allows for a continuance if we need that date, you know. So if I'll continue doing that as much as I can for you guys, so. Yeah, so anyway, so
on the 19th, yeah.
Correct, Melissa, Veronica, those are coming out this Friday. Are we kicking those out? Yeah, okay, so it is much smaller. Yeah, a project. I imagine it'll be about 30-minute meeting to go through that section. But that's all I have. If you have more questions for me, any updates, why not?
To answer Mr. Lindell's question, you always get the staff report and the agenda 10 days prior to the hearing.
Which? Yeah, well, yeah. There was a lot of times in years past where I'd get them the day of.
And this one was very large. This amendment for Farm and Forest has been in the works under I've been involved with it for almost 5 years now. We brought this set to you before. A land use consultant came in and presented these changes to the commissioner, to the Rural Planning Commission. And it went to, you guys, the body approved it. It went to the board. The board office put a hold on it because they wanted some workshops. And then the state came down and changed everything. So it made all that work we had done null and void. So this was a redo. And thank God I had Veronica come along for us. And she's a research queen. She does very well reading through this stuff. And for coming from me, I want to call out things that are more restrictive to you guys. I don't like it either. But I try to bring those to the fore. If there's something more restrictive, then I'm going to make sure that our staff reports point that out to you. Most of this stuff is mandated. Keep in mind, our farm and forest hasn't been updated for about 10 years plus. So what you're seeing is us bringing all that regulation to current. There's some really good things in there, too. The public has front counter some farmers out there. Have been asking about agritourism. What can I do to get my farm to get more profitable? That's a big one. So we want to get that one in there as soon as possible and through. The ciders, well, that's new to me, but it's an option. We're adding more options out there for the people in these farm and forest zones. That's the way I look at it. There's some things we just can't, that goes the other direction, and it comes down from the state of Oregon. So we got to do what we do. Thank you for your patience on this one. This was a lot of material. And I agree with you, Ward, that it probably could have been months of looking through it, and to throw it at you all at once is a little tough to swallow. But thank you for putting up with that. And we will send it forward to the county commissioners. And I'm sure they might have one or two meetings on this topic when it gets to that level. And we'll make sure that your questions are answered. So
that helps. Anything from the planning director? All right. Meeting is adjourned.